All y'all that have your Bible, let's jump right into this word. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I probably have read over these scriptures thousands of times. And as I was doing it again this week, I just more revelation came. And I want to minister this message to you. For the guys in the back, it's just simply entitled Living a Righteous Life. Did you hear me? Living a righteous life. You don't get preached about this kind of stuff much in church anymore. Because we don't really focus on understanding that when you gave your life to Jesus, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say amen to that. I want y'all to talk to me this morning, okay? You are made righteous. The problem is a lot of times we don't feel righteous because of something we did back when or this morning. But you got to know right now that you are not moved by your five physical senses. You're not moved by your feelings, what you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. What are you moved by? Shout it out to me. The Word. And that's what moves us in everything. So it really doesn't matter, really, about the past. I mean, God in His Word talks to us a lot of things about forgetting those things that are behind, pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I mean, we need to understand that. John, go up there and just get me a music stand. I want to preach to y'all right here where I can spit on you a little bit. Amen. Thank you, brother. Just some music stand, doesn't matter what it is. Because the reason that we don't feel righteous is because a lot of times we're more moved by those five physical senses than understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. Say amen to that. But man, when you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, ooh, Jesus, that devil may try to attack, but he don't have any victory in your life because you are not moved by something that's happened to you in your physical body. You know, you're moved more knowing that may be the fact, by the way, that you were diagnosed with something. Most everybody knows that comes to this church. It's been 20 years ago that I was diagnosed with the fact of Crohn's disease. They took out 16 inches of intestines, a little bit of the colon. I was sick probably for 7 years. I mean, I was 135 pounds. I told my wife yesterday I lost 10 pounds yesterday. Yesterday. I told Howdy the same thing. He's like, what'd you say? He said, I said, I did. I lost 10 pounds yesterday. I said, because I weighed myself that morning and I was, I'll say it. I was 192. I've never been in the 190s, ever. Ever. Well, then that evening, after I took the majority of my clothes off, I weighed 182, okay? I mean, I must have weighed with my belt buckle on, Dallas. I mean, I had my boots on. I had long johns on, you know. I had my hat on. I forgot, you know. But, I mean, I lost some weight here. Silent in the church on the front row. She's like, I don't know why he gets on the weight deal. The point is I don't want to be moved by a doctor telling me that I have this disease called Crohn's because it was the fact. But I decided to believe the truth of the Word of God that says I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. They had already come in, laid hands on me. That's Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Yeah. But what if I would have been moved by, well, wow, I had tubes in my mouth, and then the doctor telling me, son, you've got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it is manageable. You'll have to have medicine for the rest of your life. And I'll never forget him when he told me I'd have to probably stop riding horses and roping. What'd you say? I mean, I almost pulled that hose out and whooped him right then with the hose. So don't you tell cowboy he can't ride no more. But that was the fact. And I decided with the agreement of my mom and dad to not accept that. I said, I'll never forget it when I was still in the room and all you, how many medical, do we have some medical people in here just, you understand, you know, nurses and, you know, we used to have a lot of doctor people. Well, they always try to wake you up by smashing your chest. And like, I mean, and they just, boy, that's how they wake a lot of people. And I'll never forget, they going, Mr. Ross, Mr. Ross. And I'm just waking up from this surgery, and he declared to me, he said, you have a disease called Crohn's. I believe we got all the bad stuff out. But you're going to have to manage it. You'll have to deal with this forever. And I'll never forget saying, no, sir. Not me. And I can imagine when I go, that they thought I was crazy. Uh-oh, there's one of those fanatics. And he said it again one other time, just as I was leaving, they was wheeling me to my room. You got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it is manageable. And I said, no, sir. Don't receive that. They took me to my room, had these tubes in my mouth, and he comes in one time, and my mom and dad were there. And he said that, I don't know if you understood me, you've got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. And he begins to tell me about medicine, and I again said, and I looked at mom and dad. We wasn't going to embarrass him and say, you know, thou Sataneth, get out of this roometh, or I'll whippeth thou bootieth, you know, use some King James or whatever. I just didn't receive it as the truth. I knew it was the fact, but I didn't receive it as the truth because I decided I was not going to be moved by my five physical senses and how I was feeling, what I had just gone through. I was going to believe this word no matter what. And I have to testify, I've never taken one pill in all these years, ever. I was healed to the glory of God. I never even went back to a doctor. Come on, clap better than that. I mean, because if he did it for me, he's got to do it for you. If he did it, because he's no respecter of persons. So you got to forget about what you did back when and start understanding that when you gave your life to Jesus, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ. You were righteous. You need to just start learning how to live that way, and we're going to teach that right now. You ready? Verse 1, Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Say amen to that. Because that's what Ronnie does constantly, and that's what I do. We are ministering. I mean, if you got their calendar out, him and Cheryl, I mean, they go a lot trying to tell people about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it might be behind the buck and shoot, or it might be in a service like this one, but that's the desire. So notice that that's exactly what's being preached right here, that they might be saved. Saved from what? Hell, that's a good start. You don't want to go there. It's hot. Hello, it's hot. You ever study hell? The Bible says you'll beg for a drop of water on your tongue forever and ever and ever. And here's the deal about heaven and hell. You'll still have your five physical senses. You're still going to feel. So I think it's best not to go to that place called hell. So that's why we're all about the saving knowledge of Jesus here, see. For I bear them record, verse 2, that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, underline that, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's a means of salvation. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." Let me tell you what that means. Before Christ, you were not righteous. You were, you know, before you gave your life to Him, you lived in a world system, a nature of darkness. But when you gave your life to Jesus, then you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ, the light. Say amen to that. Okay? So the old law, I mean, it was all about your feelings. You had to do it because it was a law. But when Jesus died and became that sacrificial lamb for you and I, when He became the one that we sacrificed on the altar, we don't any longer live by the old law. No, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And we are then made righteous in God's eyes, regardless of what we do now. I mean, even if we sin, doesn't mean we're not righteous when we're born again with Jesus. Now, there's a penalty. There's the wages of death, or there's the penalty of doing something wrong when you shouldn't have. But that does not mean you are not righteous. It's kind of like a woman being pregnant. You either are or you're not. You can't be kind of, or every now and then if you look that way, you're pregnant. No, you are either are pregnant or you are not. Amen? Okay, so here we are learning about righteousness, see, and understanding that when you gave your life to Jesus, you are not living by the old law any longer. Jesus did away with that, praise God. Okay, so hopefully that's going to make sense now. Again, for Christ in the end, verse 4, of the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. So you can either live by the old law, you can live in sin, you can live by your feelings, your five physical senses, or you can live by the Word of God because of Jesus that gave His life for you, which then makes you righteous. The problem is we got to learn how to live this way. And actually, the Bible teaches us how to live this way. You ready? Verse 6. Let me go to verse 5. Back to verse 5, because I might camp here for just a little bit. Let me read it out of the Amplified. For Moses writes that the man who can practice the righteousness, perfect conformity to God's will, which is based on the law with all its intricate demands, shall live by it. Listen, you and I can live by the righteousness of God. But in order to live by the righteousness of God, we got to know God's will for our life. And how do you do that? I begin to study out the will of God, and we'll probably just study out a few and then go back over it next time we're here. But we need to understand that if we live in the righteousness of God, then serving the Lord, this is good. Write this down if you have some notes. Serving the Lord is a relationship rather than a religion. Serving the Jesus that lives on the inside of us, all of us, is a relationship, not a religion. Because a religion is when you do things because other people did things. I mean, like, it's religious when great-great-grandmama went to that church and they did it that way, and so grandmama's going to do it that way, and then mama's going to do it that way, and then the granddaughter's going to do it that way, and their kids are going to do it that way. Well, what if God says, since we're to be led by the Spirit of God, since we're sons and daughters of God, what if He says to do it a different way? I mean, not the doctrinal things, but what if he tells you, no, hey, I need you to go and go around that wall 7 times. Yeah, but grandmama didn't do that. Dad didn't do that. So why should I do that? Well, it's because we're trying to obey the voice of the Lord. So we need to do what he says, see? So living for the Lord has to be a relationship. Spending time in his word. Hold your place here and slip over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, because I want to show you a few things. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you maybe 4 or 5 things, as the Lord allows me, about learning God's will for our lives. Proverbs chapter 3. And here's the very first one. In order to know God's will for our life, maybe a key of God's will in our lives, the very first thing that I noticed here that you just saw in the Amplified is that we need to, number one, practice righteousness. We need to practice it. I mean, it's just doing what's right. Have you ever, and I had this opportunity, you guys, had this opportunity just the other day. I went by a Dairy Queen. And I got a peanut butter parfait. Anybody ever had one? Anybody in here? Let me see your hand if you've had a peanut butter parfait. Okay, I just want to see where the righteous people are. Now, when I said that, then people, oh, so I had one a long time ago, like 50 years. Well, this thing, you know, they put some peanuts and then some, you know, chocolate and then some, you know, ice cream and then some peanuts and chocolate and more ice cream or fudge or whatever it is. And then, and it's, the ice cream's way up there. And, you know, and I'm, you know, I've been, you know, working out and I've been doing, you know, I've been running and things like that. And well, you don't want to, when you run and you're trying to be fit, you don't want to eat the whole thing. Just a little bit of it. Hello? So I tried to get the biggest portion, but then it started melting and getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And I'm driving down the road, and this thing is about to get all over Jamie's car. That's exactly what I said. Uh-oh. So I was tempted to roll down the window and throw it all out. Oh, y'all done it before. I know you have. But I got to thinking, wait a minute, that's littering. Some of y'all are like, well, who cares, brother preacher? No, it's littering. So it's not right. So I rolled down the window and pulled over, and I dumped some of it out, but I wasn't about to throw that cup out. You see? See, there's something about practicing righteousness. I mean, we can go into some deep things that makes everybody mad, like taxes. I mean, but I know people that they only get cash because they don't want to pay taxes to the government. Well, but that's not honest. And here we are trying to be givers, but there's something about practicing righteousness, y'all. There's something about doing what's right, even though, you know, maybe there is justification for not paying taxes because we pay so much. But what's right? What's the right thing to do? So there's something about practicing righteousness. Because look, I want to be righteous. I want to live this way. I don't want to be under the curse. Because listen, the curse is still here, y'all. Even though we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, it is still here. And we can walk right into the curse if we're not careful. But I don't want to be in the curse. I want to live in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the one that lives for me, the one that died for me, the one that sacrificed that old law of the way of living back then before Christ. I don't want to live the days of Babylon. want to live in the blessing of the Lord, but yet we have to practice righteousness so that we can live that way all the time. Galatians talks about it. He that soweth sparingly shall reap it, like we read in the Corinthians. So there's something about practicing righteousness, spending time with God, walk with God. See, if you're interested in knowing God's plan for your life, you've got to learn to walk with Him. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, where I asked you to go just a little bit ago, look at what it says in verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and the Amplified, or the King James, thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct your path. That's the will of God for your life. He wants to direct that path, man. But if we're not practicing righteousness, excuse me, then it's going to be a little hard to know the direction that God wants. And that's why we're constantly in the battles of our minds of, where do I need to go? Why is this happening to me? What is the direction of my life? I'll tell you why the devil attacked you, Dallas, is because he knows the evangelistic spirit that's on the inside of you that has a awesome unction to want to see people saved. Just being around him, I could see it. I told Jamie, that's an evangelist right there. I mean, just, I have a heart to see people saved. That's why I travel, y'all. That's why, y'all, some of you get mad at me for being gone. But listen, I've been here 3 Sundays in a row. Here's the second key, let's say, of knowing God's will for your life. The second key, surrender your will to God's. Look at me. Did you write that down? If you don't, I mean, just write it down or try to remember. You've got to surrender your will to God's will. This is something I've had to really work on. Surrendering my will to God's will. Because most of us don't do it that way. We want to surrender our will by not asking God about His will. I mean, so, well, it kind of doesn't even make sense to surrender your own will that way then. Because we want God's blessing, let's say it that way. We want God's blessing on our will. Father, you know, I sure do want to make the national finals, and so I sure want you to bless me. Well, I'm not saying that that's not God's will, because, you know, I know other scriptures that would back up, you know, the desires of my heart and so on, because He'll give those to me if I'm submitted to Him. You can't forget that first part, though. Submit yourself to God. He'll give you desires. Well, I want to make sure that that's God's will, because we need to make sure that we're surrendering our will to God's will. In other words, is it your plan or is it God's plan that He wants you to do in your life? Now, trust me, He will bless you with all the desires of your heart if you would just get into His plan. See, this is one way to know God's will, by practicing righteousness, is if we would just simply figure out that we want to be in God's plan and not just our own without being in God's plan. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. Look at, I'll wait for you. Say amen when you get there. Oh, me, if you're still looking. Okay. Romans chapter 12. I think it's important that we know God's plan, but look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, that it may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's something about wanting and desiring to have God's perfect will, not just a submissive will. I mean, I want to be in God's perfect, perfect will, Tim. I want God's will to be all about me, because if it's all about Him, then it's going to be the perfect will of God, and that's where the blessing is. When we're out of the will of God, we're knocking our heads against everything, trying to figure out, why is so much of this junk happening to me? Well, why don't we back up and make sure that we're in the perfect will of God? I'm not talking about the resistance of the devil trying to stop you from God's perfect will, because that's going to happen. But thank God you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. Thank God you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Thank God that you're more than a conqueror through God, because He definitely loves you. Thank God that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank God that you're the head and you are not the tail. Thank God you're above and you're not beneath all the junk that's going on in your life. Thank God that you are righteous. Because the righteousness is where you can get into the will of God just by being in God's will, not in your own first. See, I think it's time that we stop beating ourselves up over the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and know that Jesus gave us life and a more abundant life. I mean, that we can live a practice righteous life and do right things. And it's not a big thing to do the right thing, y'all. At least have the knowledge of if it's right or wrong. And I mean, for some of you, it may be a difficult step to do the right thing, but I'm telling you, as the judge knows, when she's having to battle a few things when people come in front of Judge Stout, I mean, she's going to have to do the right thing regardless. What if it's her preacher? And the right thing, my sister, is not to give me a ticket. Come on, y'all. Ha! You know. Now, that wouldn't be the wrong thing. You just had mercy on me. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. When we surrender to Him, that is when He really begins to direct steps. Let's do one more. Because again, if we're going to practice righteousness, we've got to know God's will for our life. I'm not talking about it's so broad, like we know His will is for us to miss hell and make heaven. You'd agree with that, right? No, I'm talking about the more intimate things of God's will. I want to know direction, sir. I pray about that in this church. And I know we're a young church and we're growing and those kind of things. But look, I still want to know God's direction. I mean, I always figured if you keep preaching this word, they'll keep coming. And so that's a good start, is the direction of don't get away into gimmicks of getting people to come to your church. Just preach the word. And the more we preach the word, and the word, like getting rid of that spirit of offense that makes everybody so upset. I didn't like the way he did that to that person. I didn't like the way they treated me this way. Well, if you'd get over that and start honoring God and studying out your love walk, then you won't get mad over anything. You'll just kind of let it bypass. Oh, well, they must be in a bad mood. Oh, well, you know, and we have to grow in our faith. Well, practicing righteousness is how we do that. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to have grudges against someone. I've heard in churches that people won't even say hi to people in the church, the own members of their own church, because of something that happened back then that they disagreed with. No, we're not like that. That's not practicing righteousness. That's keeping in sync with the world's ways of doing things, where we hold grudges and we backbite and we murmur and we start doing things that we ought not to do. You see. No, how about do what Jesus did, since we're to imitate him, and have mercy and repentance. Why is it so quiet? I mean, this is good for us. Because I've this is just a basic teaching, but I mean, it don't hurt anybody except yourself when you're upset with someone, because it usually doesn't hurt them. Matter of fact, they really don't care. Matter of fact, they may be doing stuff to just make you mad at them, and they might like it. So it's not hurting them, trust me. So listen to me. When we practice the righteousness of God, don't you let anything take you from this church. If you got fed here at one time, then by golly, that's the spirit you need to continue in. Forget about all the other junk. You should be me. You could see a lot of negative things if you're the pastor. But I've developed, you know what? Matter of fact, me and Jamie developed this. And I know Ronnie and Cheryl, they know, Mom, all of you. Y'all probably know and heard this. But I, years ago, through a big trial in my life, my dad told me this. This is what my dad told me. He said, you know what you need, Corey? I said, what, Dad? And I was really upset, heartbroken. I said, what? He reads me this poem. Man, he had that. I kept that poem with me, and I wish I hadn't lost it. It's called Slow Me Down, Lord. Allow me to watch a spider build a web. See a sparrow build a nest, and so on. And he said, but you know what you need? And boy, I'm ready. I said, what? Now, you have to understand, if my dad said crap, the word crap, you better go hide a belt, because he's mad. Now, he was not a cussing man. And the way he said it to me, I understood it. But he looked at me and said, and I'm driving. I'll never forget the place where we're going up a hill just to the west of Iran, Texas. I don't know if any of you know where that's at. Look it up on your telephone. And we're going up this hill, because this is the memory I have. And I said, what, Dad? He said, you need to get an I don't give a crap attitude. I said, what'd you say? And he said, let me explain. He said, you need to get an attitude that you don't let things affect you. Where you just, not that you don't care for people, but you don't allow it to ruin your day. And so I've used that all my life. I've told the Lord sometimes when things have not or things are not going right in our church, in our family, or you know, business, finances, it doesn't matter. And I said, Father, you know what? I do not give a care. I do not care, sir. I'm going to turn it over to you. That's all it is saying, Father, I release this to you. I cast this care on you. You see, if we'll be that way, then we're not going to get all beat up every time things don't go our way. Nope, that's practicing righteousness. Choosing, saying, I asked one of the boys, I imagine he's in youth group right now. I said, how's it going, brother? I guess okay. You ever heard that? I guess so. When I tell some, you know, one that works for me, I'll say, hey, can you go do this? Well, I guess so. Well, that ticks me off, because I said, I don't want to hear a guess so. I want to hear, yes, sir, I will do that. Right? I don't want my child saying, well, I guess I can do that, Dad, taking out the trash. No, what you say, boy? I said, take out the trash, and you ought to say, absolutely, sir, with cherries on top. No, I guess I can. No, you either can or you can't. Well, so when I was coming in this morning, I said, how's it going? He said, I guess I'm okay. And I said, you know what, really? You either are happy or you're sad. And you have the choice. There he is. Where you been, man? I said, didn't I? And I said, you can either wake up happy and choose to be happy, or you can be upset. It's your choice. But see, that's practicing righteousness. And when we do that, it's going to help us figure out what's in the will of God. All right, listen. I want our steps to be ordered. Here's the third one. We'll close. The third, what I would call a key to knowing God's will for our life, to live a righteous life, to practice righteousness. We have to know what's God's will for our life. Here's the third one. Obey what you already know to be God's will. Obey what you already know to be God's will. In other words, obedience is an important first step. We already know what God's will is. Guys, we already know what's sin and what's not sin. And I know this world is trying to mess that up. I almost used a tackier word than that. I mean, we already know really right from wrong, even though the world is trying to teach people that what was right back in mama's day and grandmama's day is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right. No, really, we know based on the Word of God what is right and what is wrong. Say amen to that. And until you agree with that, that marriage is between a man and a woman. There's no way to go and multiply this earth without a man. Thank God. You women need us for something. We got the seed to produce a child. We know what's right and we know what's wrong, but the world has got it so messed up because we get to dealing with feelings. And we have to understand that we do operate by not wanting to hurt anyone's feelings, but the truth is the truth. And we need to be obedient to what God's will actually is. The Word of God. Come on, y'all. Be in agreement that this Word is yes and amen. It is not irrevocable. It does not change. It is what it is. It says what it says. This Word is everything to a believer in Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible teaches us not to add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. What it is what it is. What it says is what it says. How it forms up in our life doctrinally is the truth. And we've got to live by this truth. And if we do that, we'll start getting in God's will. We'll start seeing the blessing of God. Because look, the blessing is there. That blessing is there. You just got to get into it. I mean, you can't stand on the side looking at all the other people that are being blessed. You need to get in God's blessings. The coolest thing that I've learned in the kingdom of God is understanding, yes, I had a cowboy say one time, well, but why does that guy, why has he won the world championship when he's on drugs and he's doing bad things? Well, it's very simple. Because the principles of God, I mean, God reigns on the just and the unjust. If you're doing the principles of God, according to this Bible, even if you're not a believer, they'll work for you. I mean, if you're a giver, as we know, some of those entertainers, man, they send millions to help people. If you're a giver, that principle of sowing and reaping will come in your life. God won't get the glory for it, though. I want God to get the glory. I want to be in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to practice this stuff, man. But, man, we've got to start living it so that we can get away from that curse, so that we don't have to go in and out of the blessing of God. So we don't have to. I teach the college kids in rodeo this. Your joy is not determined by what happens in that arena. Your joy should be of the Lord, which gives you strength. Because if your joy is by how you compete in that arena, it's going to be up and down because you have other people competing against you. You have an animal. And I don't know about you, but those animals, sometimes they're crazy. I mean, my little boy Seth, he's training a pony right now. He's already got bucked off once. Him and his little friend, Dallas's boy, their kid. Them and Levi, boy, they get on this pony every day, several times a day. At the first, they wanted the pony to buck them off. It was fun. I said, no. Don't do that. You don't want to ever train anything to buck. That's the first thing you learn when you're training animals, especially horses. Don't give them the opportunity to buck at all, and you'll be a lot better off. Because they might just, you might have to turn them into a bucking horse. So I said, let me show you what to do. And I began to, man, that training process, wow. But I am so impressed. He's only had that horse for a week, for that little pony, a week. It was halter broke. He's riding that thing. That thing is backing up. He's still having to learn a few things. He didn't want to turn to the right. Boy, he'd turn to the left real easy. Well, how many of you know, then it's easy just to go to the left. So I said, hey, Seth, I'd never go to the left for a long time. Always go to the right. Let's make that horse. Well, now that little horse goes to the right, and he goes, Dad, look at this. Because he just had asked me, when will the horse just rein by the neck? Where when that rein hits his left neck, that he goes to the right. And when you take your hand and it hits the right neck, he'll go to the left. Because when you train a horse, you have to plow rein. You pull their head around and you make sure you just kick them and their old heads are turning around. You just plow rein everything. And that's how you get the horse to learn how to go right and how to go left. But when you rope, you have the reins and you need to be able to direct left or right this way, not having to reach around and pull their head around. And I said, well, you have to go in steps, brother. This is the same with righteousness, y'all. This is the same with living in the will of God. We've got to do the steps. The first step, y'all probably already done by giving your life to Jesus Christ. I said, the first step is, yeah, we got to teach that horse how to move to the right and the left. And you'll just pull his head to the right, and they'll just, their butt follows them. I'm sorry, they're hiney, whatever. Gluteus maximus, what? I don't know the proper thing to say in cowboy church. Usually we can just say anything, amen? Well, not anything, but anyway. I said, then when you go to the left, their rear follows their head. And then he yells, Dad, look at this! And that thing was just moving on his hand. And that's when you have that horse in your hand. They're controlled by the one thing. Well, that's another lesson, though, because that's just the mouth. A little small member. And it's operating the whole entire body. Look, y'all. We've got to want a desire to get in the righteousness of God. To live the right way. And yeah, you know, you're going to have to ask God, what is the right way? But I can promise you it's in this word. Because this is the right way. So how many of you want to live in God's will? Let me see your hand. Yeah, I mean, you want to live in God's will, then I would start practicing righteousness. Practice it living right. Yeah, the next time you want to slap someone upside the head. And I had people go. I mean, honestly, be practical. How many of you have ever in your entire life wanted to slap someone upside the head? Both hands, you know. And you might have someone in your mind right now. Yeah, I'm fixing this. But what is right? You see? No? That's okay. Let's not. Now, don't justify it with, yeah, well, I'm going to ask Bubba to go whip her. We'll whip him. Yeah. No. What is right? Right? That's practicing. That's doing what's right, y'all. Amen. When we live this way, come on. When we live this way, man, you want to talk about being in the blessing? Woo. Nothing ever makes you upset. And you'll be the one that's on top. You won't be the one that's always ticked off, building a tent in the middle of the trial and tribulation. Amen? Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for, man, who you are and what you are and what you did for us. You sent a Savior. And we want to live His way. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us this morning. And I just pray right now, if there's one person that is watching us or that is in this congregation that has not given their life to you, that they would do that right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as y'all know, I want to give anyone in here an opportunity to receive the King, Jesus. I want you to receive Him as Lord. So I have to present this question. If you stood in front of God, and that means you had to have left this earth some way, obviously it's by dying of this flesh. But Jesus might come back. You're still going to stand before Him someday. What is He going to say to you? As the Bible says, He says one of two things. If you've asked Jesus, we didn't get to it, but we will. We didn't get to down in Romans 10. We didn't get to verse 9 because we stopped at verse 5. But verse 9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. We're going to be talking about the heart in the next few messages. If you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved means going to a place called heaven, but yet it's deeper than that. You can have heaven here. Man, you can live by God's ways right here on earth. But to set salvation up to you, I need you to answer the first question. What's God going to say to you? If you're born again and Jesus is Lord, this is what He'll say. Well done. Enter into the rest of the joy of the Lord. Heaven. Since He's not a man that He can lie, the Bible says that if you choose and you have this right, you have a will. That's why we're talking about God's will. But you have your own will. You can say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff. I don't believe any of it. You got a right to do that. I'm going to ask you not to submit to that will and submit to the will of God that says there's only one way to heaven, John chapter 14. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to get to heaven, to the Father, that's where He is by Him, Jesus. But if you choose not to, then He asked to say, depart from Me. Well, the reason that me and the Christians and the other ministers travel so much is I don't want anybody going to hell. I want you to go to heaven. Please choose heaven. So what we're going to do in here, and if you're watching, I want you to pray this. If you're not saved, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to pray this prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. Amen. And would you all pray it? We're just going to ask everybody in here to pray it. You need to learn this prayer anyway, even if you're saved. You're not getting saved again if you're already born again, but you need to learn this prayer. So just pray it with someone beside you, possibly, that may be giving their life to Jesus for the first time, and let's pray it just like this. Again, if you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. Ready? I'll pray it. You just pray it after me, but mean it. Ready? We'll do it out loud. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I believe You've been raised from the dead. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But I want heaven here. because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, every head bowed and eye closed, just please, just out of respect to God and your neighbor, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or even if you was watching, there's a way to contact us. Just write us a note. You can message us. Tell us that you gave your life to Jesus. But if you're in here and you just prayed that prayer, you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it, and I gave my life to you this morning. And then just put your hand right back down. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to do it with boldness. We are not ashamed of the gospel. You ready? One, with every bit of boldness, if you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up at three. One, two, three. Go. Thank you, brother. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. All right, look at me. I'll take one. I'd swim to Africa for one. It doesn't matter. Eat beetles. I'd rather eat chicken fried steak, but if I have to swim to Africa to get one person saved, we'll eat some beetles. Amen. Some butterflies or whatever. Are butterflies good? They're pretty. Did y'all have a good time this morning? All right. Well, thank you for coming. Don't miss next week. I told you I was here for three Sundays in a row. I'm going to be at the national finals preaching in Mulvane, Kansas. So pray for us, but don't miss church. Amen. I'm going to, Dwayne. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got Dwayne. I told Ronnie. Dwayne Williams. Man, he'll bring his piano. I mean, you want to talk about entering into some praise and worship. Don't miss and invite your friends. He's going to minister all week, and so it's going to be a good time. Now I remember where this, I'm looking for it everywhere. Just some announcements real fast, and then, I mean, we're going to pray real quick because Dallas is playing. I don't know if they'll win, but we're going to pray for them. On the 13th, what was the cookie deal on the 6th? The 6th, that's going to be a cool deal, y'all. We're going to right here on the 6th, and I believe that starts at what time? At 6:30, we're going to do a cookie exchange as well as a tacky sweater. Is that what y'all call it, tacky? Ugly. Tacky and ugly are pretty much the same thing. Hey, don't miss those things. That's when we fellowship, and, just if you don't have a ugly sweater, just wear whatever. It don't matter. But be a part. But the cookies, oh, man, I can't wait. You make your own cookie, and there's some information about that we can get you. But it's going to be a cool deal where you make your own. You don't go and buy them at HEB, y'all. Make your own recipe of cookies, and then you're going to be able to taste a lot of great cookies. It's a fun, fun thing. So they're going to be doing that on that day, the 6th, and then on the 13th, which is a Friday night, is the ornament exchange for the ladies. This has turned into one of the biggest events at our church. They come from everywhere and exchange ornaments. It's a blast, and they're going to have a good time. Do y'all have door prizes for that? No, but it's going to be a neat deal, exchanging ornaments, but might be a good time to get a door prize. Yeah, why don't we? And then on the 14th, as y'all know, Liberty Hills having their Christmas festival. We have a float. I'm going to need a few people to ride on that float and throw out candy to people. And so we're going to need candy, if y'all don't mind. And it's going to be a blast. Get excited about helping on those kind of things. What it's going to show, even though we have so many people that live in Bertram and Burnett and Georgetown and Marble Falls and everywhere, Leander. We have a lot of people that live everywhere that comes to this church. We're still in Liberty Hill, and we are to show Liberty Hill that we're a part of our town. Amen? And so be a part of that. It's an all-day Christmas festival with that night when it gets a little darker. We put lights on the trailer. And so we need some help with that. If you don't mind, see Heidi, and We love getting some help. It ought to be a blessing. And then the next night, the 15th, is our Christmas concert. And we've got the band ready, and I'm going to be flying back from the National Finals Rodeo and for a practice on Thursday and for a rodeo meeting that afternoon. And it's going to be a blast getting ready for this concert. And it'll start at 5 o'clock. Amen? And then always put on your reminder, we're getting ready for April 16th through the 19th, our rodeo. Biggest event in Liberty Hill. It's a big event. And so we're going to be starting to organize that. We had our first meeting, and just getting the organizational part. We'll be asking you guys to do a lot. We're going to need some help. And so we may need different people in different areas. But I'll tell you where we need the most help: concession stand. It's what makes our church the most income. Concession stand. You might think it's the gate. Really, the gate is just trying to get everything we do for our town. And I have to tell you, even though it's a Liberty Hill rodeo, all the proceeds don't go to Liberty Hill as the profits. They stay here. But Liberty Hill has benefited because a lot of revenue comes in our town. A lot. They buy gas and eat, and when we get a motel, they fill it up. And so, anyway, it's going to be a great blessing for a church. So write all those things down. Amen? All right, any other announcements? Yeah, we have Bible study on Tuesday. Don't miss that. My mom's going to be teaching it on El Shaddai. Amen. So it's going to, don't miss, 6:30 we have a little meal, and then we break off. We have broken off into our groups. Our 40 and under class is going to stay in with the big class just this week until I get back. And I'll be back like two from then, because the next one, which falls really close to Thanksgiving, we're not going to do Bible study. And so come this Tuesday, we'll let you know that the next one will have a little day off, let you be with your families for Thanksgiving. We'll still do our next Sunday service, and it's going to be good. Amen? All right, stand to your feet, and we'll be dismissed. Love you. Pray you received the Word of God. Amen. Live this way, all right? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time. We praise you, all that you're doing here. We receive this Word by faith. Thank you, Lord, for that one that gave their lives to you. Glory be to God. And Father, it is a pleasure to live and practice righteousness, because that's who we are as Christians. We love you. Until Tuesday or next week, you don't stay here. The Word says you never leave us. You never forsake us. You get to go with us right now. So thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.